evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the 1091 episode for Purpose Kingdom Network, and the telephone number to listen is 323-870-4174. Again, that is 323-870-4174. And please press £1 to talk to the host. To listen on the internet, please type in www.blogtalkradio.com. That is www.blogtalkradio.com. And type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Batts. That is P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L, then Visions, V-I-S-I-O-N-S, B-Y, Antonia, A-N-T-O-N-I-A, and Bats, B-A-T-T-S. Once again, P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L, space, Visions, V-I-S-I-O-N-S, space, by B-Y, space, Antonia, A-N-T-O-N-I-A, space, Bats, B-A-T-T-S. Please select either live shows or at the title bar, the show you would like to listen to, because after all, you can also review previous shows following tonight's show on air on the internet as well as the telephone. Tonight's show is titled Disasters, Both Natural and Unnatural, that Cause Much Devastation and some deaths because of government oversight. We have multiple resources. We have citizens' taxes. We have in-kind donations, which are expected to cover the long-term cost of making restitution for the destruction. And we are told our kids are sometimes, and ourselves, may have to suffer a deficit in taking care of themselves because of drained resources. Well, villages, towns, cities, and more do not know what to expect if our representatives do not leave you a solution or an honest budget that we can visibly identify with. Plus, new predatory practices in the United States visiting your household. Well, before I begin, everyone, I'd like to say tomorrow will be considered in the United States a national holiday called the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. He marched for peace, which led up from the 1950s, I believe, up until at least the 1960s, maybe 68 being his last day on earth. April the 4th. It is an unfortunate thing that the way things have carried on during that time period that led to those civil rights marches that were engaged mostly because of so many injustices going on based on people's differences of sex, race, religion, just mistreatment to begin with of human beings and human life, their gender, let's not forget if they're female, they have been going through so many things, including these little hock shops and factories they had to work in a subservient manner. Nobody was doing anything to try to better the situation for that as well. So it became necessary for Dr. Martin Luther King to fill the shoes of what it was to represent the masses of people across the nation, and hopefully it affected the world, to be able to live like human beings and be treated like human beings and not be scrutinized because some people had the upper hand over everyone out here, it seemed like, until he had seemed to introduce people of various types who wanted to join him in the hunt for other people who are of like minds, who wanted just equality, who wanted to have justice, who wanted to have equal pay for equal work, and so on and so forth. So tomorrow being January the 20th, the year 2020, is a remarkable date because of so many 20s involved in that number segment so successfully that people are really starting to wake up and realize there are still things that have yet to be done in a justful manner. And the year 2020 may make a remarkable stride for everybody to pay attention to what is necessary to see what Dr. Martin Luther King had marched for and unfortunately was killed for. It's a shame because his family had to suffer. But some people are callous. They don't care about other people's families. But you got to make people care because, after all, people supporting people is what it's all about. So, considering that, God bless you, Dr. Martin Luther King, for unfortunately taking a bullet that had gotten rid of your ability to continue to do what you do back in April the 4th of 1968. But nevertheless, we celebrated your birthday on January the 15th as the last birthday that you celebrated, and we thank God for you. But to continue, I would like to say, again, good evening, everyone. First, I would like to congratulate Duchess Meghan and, well, I understand he's called Duke, but still considered Prince Harry of England for exercising your independence and your self-respect. You set an example for a good, stable, and wholesome environment for future parents and household members when it comes to decision-making and self-respect. Also, there are numerous police officers and firefighters, as well as community citizens, who have saved lives in the making a need to have a difference to show that they can rescue people, as well as lend all types of merciful things that the lives of people and wildlife, and it's just numerous, the amount of people out there who still know what it's like to care and give of themselves, because this can happen across the world. Anything can happen, and you never know when you may need the next person. And you definitely know who you are, and you are great as well in the eyes of the beholder and in the eyes of the other people that learn how to appreciate good deeds. So, almost every day, the unexpected destructive acts of nature or unnatural acts of nature are being presented in the news. But when you hear some of the most recent events, such as volcanic eruptions, or of massive wildfires, or several airplanes that crash into the homes, or the homes that collapse, or, you know, different things, many, many more categorical catastrophes that occur, make it necessary to address the issues that need to be addressed. And with this so-called computer age evolution, as a result of, you would think that those matters would be reduced by this turn of the century, at least about 20 years ago or more. In other words, the year 2000. Well, question. Are we, as a human race, so involved with our own materialistic advancement that we cannot show some concern about outside influences that affect the future of humankind? Our lack of concern for possible oversight of these events of the world outside our own personal environment can only lead to ignoring solutions that can possibly helpfully aid to the future uneventful plights that are out there. Since there are so many people across the world who are unaware of these unpredictable coincidental events that affect the future of the world, it may be time to start opening discussions among people with both like minds and like ideals. You know, like many others have done before them, because, after all, it was underestimated that the people's opinions, who are not of necessarily of a certain hierarchy, were not valued and not heard. After all, these are the masterminds, the people that have to live through all this, that understand that the purpose of us coming together is to see what we can do to hopefully find solutions. But there used to be a saying that children are to be seen and not heard. That's right, the saying used to be, children are to be seen and not heard. Many adults, they had to learn that after hearing children make comments that are unexpected, children, they also have valuable thoughts from considering the fact that they were always told to sit still and quiet so long, and then sometimes they pick up information. So some children, they will definitely learn to respect adults who learn how to respect their input, the things that they can say also. And sometimes you'd be surprised of the things that can come from a child's mouth. There's a saying that goes from our ears, from their mouth to our ears. And considering that you can help children build their self-esteem by being attentive to what they'd like to share in some cases. But the true reason is not to criticize and judge their input, but to actually help them see their self-worth, whether it is wrong or right. The same goes for the general public. When people judge a person by their own personal assumption, well, keep in mind, we all make mistakes, but we all can give valuable input, and we all need to learn the art of listening so not only we can learn, but so we can understand why things are done and said and can be helped. Well, recently there have been a few volcanic eruptions that had claimed the lives and communities in some of the locations across the world that were definitely unpredictable. Well, some people, they would say, well, so what? You know, there have been recent hurricanes that have also claimed lives. But now we know that many of those historical unfortunate, you know, events and more others that were out there being points of devastation across the world, they definitely had led to destruction. And this is not something new. This is not recent. This has occurred over the years and the centuries. So since we know that, we have realized that we had to pay some scientists in different countries that studied things like, for example, what they call seismic eruptions and tremors and quakes, and all types of possible aids to understand or hopefully foresee all of the destruction beforehand. Well, it's not absolute, though. So maybe we could alert some villagers and tourists and, you know, the governing authorities also about the consideration of evacuating or relocating. But even sometimes those actions, they take money. I mean, we mean massive amounts of money. But they are not impossible to accomplish, since I did mention on a previous show of the amount of money that's being allocated to different countries from people who are definitely big donors of massive amounts, just hoping that it's allocated properly, of course. But considering that when they're donated, we would like to ask, are they being successfully and significantly donated, even to the smaller communities? After all, we got to have evidence of how these people are being helped, because every time you turn around, there's a message being sent out that this community is suffering in this way. And I watch sometimes CBN News, you know, once in a while when I can get a chance. And it don't make any sense, because we know that governments are receiving funds from people out here who make huge donations, or let's just say have taxpayers' dollars being accountable for helping them out. Well, how about this? Is there a legitimate budget report that's allowed that, you know, the general public can see? I doubt it. But the United Nations, it usually acts as moderators for communication to the world. So do they effectively cover those issues also? That's something we need to at least wonder about. Now, for those who are not familiar with the United Nations covered by the NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or something or the other, is based in New York City in the United States, and they constantly have representatives from all over the world with interpreters and things of that nature who actually are there for the purpose of hoping to resolve the world's matters. And they, of all people, should be allowed to receive input from you across the world. If your country is represented, hopefully it is, so that you can at least not just give your opinion, but be able to see if there's anything you can do to help, because you never know. We all need each other out here, for those who understand the struggle. But another example, even though Australia isn't the only country that had a massive wildfire destruction recently, if I'm not mistaken, I have heard that there is only the ability for anyone to get in or out of that place through one available way in and a way out. It had said on the news about 500 million wildlife animals, which was recently updated to about 1 billion, are either dead or not accounted for. And as a result, it makes you wonder, why are people on the payroll to make more suitable provisions to enter and leave that place and to maintain their best to the best of their ability for wildlife to thrive? Why aren't they questioned about that matter? Did anyone ever report on that? I don't recall seeing it myself, but hopefully someone did. So are there proper people who are like firefighting personnel who also can be provided the materials and the manpower available? Are there people who are considered engineers who build better roadways or thoroughways to be able to get people in and out of an environment like that, as big as Australia is, in a moment's notice, if anything were to happen? Do they have any answers that I can't seem to have enough questions for? But we do receive reports, though, about tourism and worldwide concerns based on all of this that's going on. And when it's commented upon over the media, you wonder if there will be any answer about those operational considerations that created those vast paradises, speaking of Australia as being one. Well, I don't know about you, but here in the United States, we hear of national and worldwide televised small private planes crashing due to different reasons, which may be either pilot or mechanically related. And we hear of huge airplanes that either reflected mechanical failure or computerized failure or occasional pilot error or enemy gunfire, unfortunately, or maybe friendly fire that has been an unfortunate situation, rarely, but possibly. And when they're being caused a crash, however, the many people that are aboard, you wonder what other measures they've taken to basically secure the situation. It's not to imply that they don't do their best in making sure those failures aren't preventable, but I'm quite sure it's happened in other countries as well. And let it be understood, you cannot avoid every possible crash, but a solution to reducing casualties are basically things that you cannot ignore, and they need to be continued to be examined more closely beforehand. It's amazing how one set of airplanes that I'm sure led into the billions have been grounded in a large hangar deck. And it happened in more than one hangar deck, if I'm not mistaken, as of this recent, maybe half of a year, I would say. So you need to basically understand that there are not enough people out there, it seems like, that understand the reason why computer glitches are not maybe, let's just say, 100% reliable. And as a result, you need to have people on board who definitely know what it's like to report things, report matters when they start to come to fruition. And it also brings to mind the big question, who pays for all of those billions and trillions to fix all of this? I will say, during one of the previous shows I've done, I believe, at least from over here in the United States, it was said that taxpayers have a good portion of the money that's paid into it. But I'm sure it's not only taxpayers' money, but it's other things, you know, other ways. But I'm quite sure in other countries they have their way of making their contribution. And it says that they earn their opportunity to make sure society as a whole can benefit from what they've came across, their findings, to hopefully not repeat history. But no one really knows what percentage of the funding will be distributed sometimes, because that's a massive amount of money to really try to track. But as long as it's hopefully being effectively and properly distributed, and considering that some of the people over here, a lot of the people over here, probably the majority, they're only earning minimum wage, and they cannot even seem to make strides and live a decent life for themselves from day to day. They would like to know at least if that taxpayer money is being extracted from them. What is it providing for who and how? Well, who you can't control, but for society as a whole, more so. They're also curious about the budgets that are being issued to various agencies and whatever, because I'm quite sure that, you know, they want to make sure that if they're going to be deprived of Social Security for retirement and the need for their children to be able to receive the same benefits since they struggled so hard, who is doing what and why is it that they're being deprived? But, you know, we never had been reported to about how many of those many billions and trillions and maybe gazillions are being accounted for as a whole. But that's why you need to go to the United Nations by pencil and pen or phone call or email, however you choose to transmit your request, to find out how things are being allocated and find out what are they doing and how are they going about it. Also, if the stock market is being progressively stable, shouldn't that be a sign that there should be no more deficits or recessions or lack of health care or student education and the ability to pay for it? Considering that education can also help the world over to do what's progressively an advancement in human life, you would think that payment should not be a big issue. People shouldn't be punished because they tried to get an education on not only making sure they're getting paid, but making their contribution to the world as well. You know, after all, we have vocational schools, trade schools, colleges, training facilities in general, and more that are a part of future developments, of course. Many people, they do not get employed in their field of study after all of this, but it evolves into whether they can even get a job, period, after the completion of all this. And nobody should be punished because they don't have the ability to try to get to go forward and then make their contribution back into society. Well, sometimes homeless people in massive numbers, they actually have been subjected to not being able to keep up with the need to learn a trade or whatever in order to be able to thrive. And as a result, they fall by the wayside, and the result of that is death. So if you have any future concerns about the concerns of your family and yourself for the future and your destiny, there may be a chance that your local or higher representatives can give you an answer and a solution. If not, try to appeal to the United Nations, because after all, they created a particular document called the Sustainable Developmental Goals. They abbreviated by calling it SDA. Again, I repeat it. It is called Sustainable Developmental Goals. And it is a particular document signed by the United Nations to be able to allow people to understand what it takes to get a leg up on being able to thrive, not only in this society here, but all in other places other than the United States. So, you know, emailing it, Googling it, whatever it takes, would be a very, very advisable way of finding out what are they doing to help people like yourselves. Now, I received that information on behalf of a group called the Eastern Service Workers Association, located here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a few years ago, and I had interviewed them as well, and they have enlightened you on the many massive categories that were supported by the Sustainable Developmental Goals, SDA, from the United Nations, because that is basically their platform. They help the poor. They help to do whatever they can to make sure for the past 40-something years, based out of the office, led by a woman named Frida, her assistant Bernard, that they would make sure that you all can get the information on that, or if you feel as though there's more to be learned, you can actually appeal to them. Now, if you only receive, let's say, menial pay, I mean, it's hard to even make a donation because, after all, your menial pay do pretty much have a lot of taxes, it appears, being taken out of it. And if you try to deviate from being held accountable for your responsibilities, you have to see what you can pick from it as time goes on to make whatever small donations you can make if you choose to, just because you're just in a mood to make it because it makes your heart feel better to give back. Now, if you think that you have people who spend, you know, much time creating more predatory practices out there, especially during this millennium, because they prey on the hopeless and the health and the hopeful, we won't let that be an issue, because we're going to make sure that is not something that we have to look forward to in the future. Now, that's the lead-in to the fact that we have had people who have done it, and as a result, it helps to unstabilize the next person's ability to go forward in life. For example, there were predatory home lenders in this turn of the century, you know, this millennium as they called it, the year 2000 plus, who operate the different agencies who sometimes through loans or finances through banks or financial agencies. And that was one predatory practice that was really getting out of hand nationwide. And unfortunately, it disappointed many of the first-time home buyers, as they call them, and pretty much bankrupted a lot of these people who are living on the edge, because these people who would know that these people have low income, they were people who pretty much prompted these people to invest and caused some of them to lose their homes because of the amount of money they had to put into it, knowing that they couldn't keep up with that and manage to sustain the other necessities it takes to run a household and feed themselves and whatever else they have to get done. So the negative impact of all of this deception had pretty much resulted from many people having to abandon their homes and live God knows where if they could find a place to live. And it's amazing because it looked like it was a war on poor people, or if you want to call them people who were low-income people. And, you know, everybody wants to have at least the illusion that they can have a decent place to live. And it is doable, but not at the expense of people taking the minute finances from them and making sure that there are people out there who undermine them and not have a place for them and their family and or their family, as a matter of fact. And when that happens, well, of course, there are the issues of people because they wonder who's going to pay the utility bills of their household, as I mentioned, or the ability to eat or the children to go to school. I especially looked at a program that was saying that, if I'm not mistaken, the governor of California, considering that there have been massive amounts of people who have had average jobs, you know, like social worker, maybe school cafeteria person, maybe even some teachers, well, you know, to have to give up their homes during the gentrification period. Gentrification meaning people displacing people from the ability to afford their housing and thrust them to the streets and sleep in their cars, if you could afford a car or you have a car, sleeping on lots, parking lots that were meant to hold about 60 cars, for example, and if there wasn't a spot on the parking lot, then, of course, you have to take to the streets and hope that you can find a safe neighborhood to be able to park your car and sleep out of. Now, you know, that is really unheard of in a normal world of people who enjoy doing the work they do in some cases and being subjected to have themselves and or their children, if they have any, to sleep in an unorthodox manner, like they're castaways being cast to the side. And that is very unreasonable. And so the governor, if I'm not mistaken, started with temporary housing to pitch tents for these people. But look at the bright, I'll say unfortunate side. There is no bright side to people who have to be in the cold that can really be the cause of them capturing pneumonia and things of that nature and may not be able to survive from day to day. And some of them actually have to go to work from those environments. So I would like to say better late than never, but at least the governor is supposed to be executing something, hopefully in a timely fashion, for the average person to be able to re-obtain their self-esteem and not let gentrification take them from the ability to live like human beings. And the gentrification, to my knowledge, come with me to mind that they're overlooking the fact that many people have been subjected for many years to not knowing where their next meal is actually coming from. Are they going to be able to have their housing? Can they finish their child finish school? Things of that nature. And that's really, it's more than just unfair. It's way more than that. It's an issue of survival. But there have been people also beside them since all of that had been going on, who experienced situations that were even more or just as much, let's say, predatory than that. Sometimes they have been less predatory. But a very recent situation had been, for example, let's just say there are people on these special programs to help them with the utilities because their income is just that low. Something is less expensive as utilities compared to a mortgage. They would actually, let's say, be required to pay somewhat lower payments based on their need. And the reality is, by deception, the backfiring of certain people who were referred to as agents who were working for some newly established companies, utility companies, had pretty much swarmed communities and knocked on doors. Sometimes the new company and found a way to be paid through the, I call it the original bill, billing company of the utilities in your city or whatever, but it's not even actually just that. These new companies have had some of these agents who have deceptively told people that their bill will be lower. Now, if you're told your bill will be lower, you would expect people to say, well, that's a goal of mine. A lower bill? Well, I can see that. And they didn't even realize, especially if they were on the reduced payment plan through a program in your city, that that was a way to keep your bill at a rate where you could have, you know, electricity or gas. Well, they have you to sign the dotted line, or they will ask you for your bill. And some of them wouldn't even have you to sign the dotted line, which should be illegal amongst these companies had allowed them to still put it through. Now, when you sign on the dotted line, when you have your bill presented, if they ask to see your bill, they would take your account number from your bill and record it. You're thinking that they're just doing a computation to show you how much cheaper it would be, and they're taking your account number, running it through the system that they are representing, and the next thing you know, the main utility bill company, which you may be getting a slight discount from already, may have to be, let's just say, compromised. Your bill actually goes up in a lot of cases. And then it won't be until months or a couple of years later. One day you'll get a great big fat bill, which is very unrealistic. And when you get that great big fat bill, you're wondering what the heck is going on. Then that causes you to call the main supplier in your city or state or town or whatever, and only for them to tell you that we're not your billing company. And, of course, you didn't realize that with the persons receiving your account numbers, they called it in as a way to call it in a way that you can only say, guess what? You had signed up such and such a time, and you say, no, I didn't sign to come off of the program that helped me out originally, which is the main supplier in my city. And, you know, let's just say it causes conflict. It causes them to feel as though that they continue to manipulate you in order to receive more money. The next thing you know, you have a time and a half getting back onto your main supplier, and so on and so forth. So it is important. Like someone told me, either run the person away from your door or definitely do not show them your bill, because they are not telling you the truth, which causes you grief when you realize that you don't have money to pay your other bills because you did not realize showing them your bill was going to allow them to take down your account number. And, you know, there are several of them out there, but there are unfortunately some agents who are very deceptive. So, truthfully, if it were me, I would just not show them my bill. If necessary, call the police. If you have a particular place that has a no solicitation sign, I'm sure the police would honor that, and so on and so forth. So please, whatever you do, keep in mind, with these deceptive practices, you want to make sure you do not show your account numbers, and definitely keep in mind there are always people out there inventing ways to take you under. And with that being said, I would like to ask you if you all would be good enough to to prepare yourself to receive God in your heart and ask Him for guidance and personal salvation. We're going to ask you to heed the call to salvation that we offer you through Purpose Kingdom Network. The call to salvation is not to actually address any particular religion or any particular person or person to worship other than God Himself. And through personal acts of Jesus Christ, that he had basically committed himself to make sure he transmitted to his Father God, we would definitely hope that you understand that your heart is in the right place if you just learn how to you yourself open it up for the right reasons. And it's not for us to make any judgment, for you to say that you will or you won't. It's for you to understand why we definitely make it available for you to see what we benefited, what God has brought to you. So with the call of salvation, we don't expect anything of you. And if anything, it gives you an opportunity to relax and show God that you appreciate what he has to offer and ask him, you know, in the future, just whatever you've been doing right to continue to still look over me. Even when I think I fall by the wayside, if you do, to still look over and still look into my heart and see what I have done to show you my appreciation. And definitely I appreciate you. God was not a person who have any ill feelings and no demands, and he gives you the free will to accept whatever you can accept. And the same for me or you or the other people out there. And as a result, we all can learn how to respect each other if we learn why we actually call on God's help and God's love. So the call of salvation is just the hope that we all can pretty much maintain what we've done, not to profess to other people that we're perfect or imperfect. If we did something that wasn't perfect, that's between you and your God, not you, I, and a third party. I don't even think your mom or your dad need to know what makes you imperfect, but it can help you learn how to respect your mother and your father. Because if I'm not mistaken, there's a saying that in the Bible regarding honor thy mother and thy father, and our days will be long. And it took me a while to understand what they meant, but at least I wasn't the person that act like I didn't understand that it did, that it can help you. And I tell you, it's not for me to ever judge my mother and father. It's just to make me understand why you pray for them also, so they can help you live and learn to love. Love yourself first, as they say, and then you can learn how to love others. The call to salvation is not exactly what some people think it is, to make sure that you feel compelled to listen to this show. But the call of salvation is to let you understand that when we learn how to appreciate ourselves and when we can understand what God's love had brought to us, we can definitely understand why we ask you to at least do some soul searching with yourself and learn how to see why everything that we do, we don't have to feel paranoid. It's all in the heart that you have to share with only yourself and your God. The call of salvation has always been a more than welcoming situation where we live and we learn what we practice, what we preach, and we can be better at. You know, striving for perfection is not a thing that we should do. We should strive to be better. But if we want to achieve perfection, that's up to you. It only adds something positive to the whole scheme of life that you need to, you know, remember that we need to continue to focus on it so we can live for the right reasons, for the opportunity to get better. and not to be dismal about anything, not to walk around depressed or sad about anything. It's easy for me to say, especially if you're not in the best situation, but it can help you when you work on your own attitude towards yourself and then work on the attitude that God wanted you to make sure that you can keep yourself preserved with. You know, I don't care how many people are on the face of the earth, if it's trillions, millions, bazillions, every person counts when it comes to making a better person of yourself so you can make a more positive influence on what goes on in life. Life for yourself, life for the person that you come in contact with. And God knows, if it ever happens that you need a friend, you'd be surprised who may be right around the corner, because they don't even realize this is what they're trying to look forward to. So with that being said, I would say the call of salvation, you know, we all seem to take some things for granted, but it's not to make you feel like you should feel subservient or mentally or physically beat down, or to make you work harder and not smarter. The calling, call to salvation, is just to let you do some soul searching. You know, if you want to ask questions, yes, you can ask outside people, but come to your own evaluation as to how you're going to deal with what God brings to you. So with that being said, I'd like to say thank you very much, Reverend Pastor Toy Daly and Brother Robert Hudson, for being able to give me an opportunity to share with you what I have pretty much acquired over the years, because God has protected me and walked with me, and I can actually attest to it. I may have not gotten anything in this season, but I will say this much. It has made me a better person as each day go by, a better representative to the raising of my offspring. It has made me, let's just say, have some pretty good insight on what it takes to be able to stay on the straight and narrow. And because I wanted to accept God in my heart, and I have benefited from it. And if anybody were to ask me, well, why is it that you're managing to become a better person as each day go by, I said, you know, you'd be surprised at the small things that pop up as a result of what I have done in the past. Whether if it's a contribution or something, if I didn't have that, just to make sure people understand what it takes to become a better person as you walk through life. So, you know, I feel as though that was a wonderful opportunity, and I thank you very much, Rob Hudson. And would you like to come on and say something, please?
Yes, real quickly, I'm going to go ahead and do the announcements. And thank you for giving the call of salvation. And just to, you know, add on to the call of salvation, if you want to find a, you know, once you turn your life over to Christ, we suggest you find a Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary to nurture you in the Word of Christ. If you can't find that sanctuary or that church home, we have a church home without walls here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And if you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. You can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply type in the host name or show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we gladly invite you to invite a friend or family member to listen in. Also, we just had our end-of-the-year revival, the PKN 2019 end-of-the-year revival. You can have 7 nights of our revival, where we started on December 25th, and we ended on December 31st at the WPM Hour, where we got prayed into the new year. And we invite you to listen to that. Also, we'd like to invite you to listen to Anchor FM or Anchor.com. You can hear a morning word of inspiration. And please feel free to invite a friend to listen to that. So if you want a morning word of inspiration, morning word of prayer or praise, you can just go there to anchor.com or Anchor FM, or you can follow any of our social media pages where you can follow the links to Anchor FM or anchor.com. We thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. No matter where you are in the world, no matter where you listen, whether you're listening to on phone or just via internet, we thank you so much. And we thank y'all, we thank you that have joined our chat service. We thank you so much, and we appreciate each and every thing that you do, the listener here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Well, God's will, God's blessing. We hope you join us at the 9 p.m. hour. Well, let's talk about it. And it's going to be of our trio host of Sister Adrienne, Sister Janice, and Sister Tylene. And please feel free to tell a friend also about that. And don't forget, well, God's will, God's blessing. We'll be joining us at the 9 p.m. hour. So let's talk about it. For our trio of hosts of Sister Adrienne, Sister Janice, and Sister Tylene. And like I said, once again, please feel free to tell a friend. With that being said, it's going to be the end of the announcements. And Sister Antonia, the program is going to be back in your hands.
Thank you very much, Brother Robert Hudson. Now, I would love to be able to listen to the program with Sister Adrienne, Sister Janet, and Sister Tyreen. Would that be on tomorrow night, Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the year 1/2020? No, let's get this right. 1/ the day of the 20th. In the year 2020? Brother Rob, I'm sorry.
Yes, that show will air tomorrow evening at 9 p.m., January 20th at 9 p.m.
Very good. Thank you very much. And everyone, that's Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast of the United States will be the tune-in hour. Hope you all will enjoy listening to it. Hope you all look forward to it. Because I tell you, I can speak especially for Sister Adrienne. She brings the light to your heart, and I'm quite sure she'll have some love to share with you all out there. So with that being said, that will be a wonderful thing to listen to. And again, Dr. Martin Luther King's Day is the day that we celebrate basically for the love that he sacrificed his life for, unfortunately. For civil rights reasons that extended across the globe. And he was joined by several other representatives out there who have marched with him of many different types. So with that being said, if you would like to have an activity, because it's very cold over here right now in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I would like to suggest, because of the cold weather and the limited time to enjoy yourself some days, like this, for example, think about indoor games that you can entertain yourself and or the children with that do not cost much. And, for example, you can go on and on forever, it seems like, to play that night or that day, something that's very inexpensive that I've learned about when I was a kid. And the name of the game is called Tic-Tac-Toe. It's very simple to play. It's lots of fun. All you need is a pencil or a pen and a sheet of paper or sheets of paper, however long you plan to keep playing it. What you do is draw like a small grid of like 2 or 3 inches, you know. The grid would be like 1, 2 lines apart from each other, like about half an inch space in between or larger. You can have a great big one if you want to. And then 2 lines horizontally, and then have 1, 2, about 2 inches in between, and or less or more. And it really will wound up offering you 9 imaginary blocks. Now, you have 2 opponents. Don't matter who does it, just don't fight over it. Let the kids fight over who goes first, who goes last. usually the loser will have to bow out until they try the next person that wins who need to try the next person that come along until late. Well, the name of the game is this. You have X's and O's. You take the X's for one person and the O's for the other. And if you can make one, two, three of your designs straight in a row, three X's, for example, or three O's, whoever owns the O's at the time, going across horizontally in the three boxes at the top, or the three boxes in the middle, or the three boxes on the bottom, before the game is over, each person take turns alternating a turn, you know, one person do the X, another does an O, the next person does the X, and then the name of the game is to block out your opponent from being able to get three strikes in a row, either way. Or it can go vertically. If you have three strikes in a row going up and down of X's, one, two, three, but if a person beats you to it and block you with one of their O's, then any of the three rows that are allowed, whoever gets to, let's say, put a strike through all three letters in a row before the other person does, they're the winner. And you can spend hours of fun playing that game. And as a result, that can take up a lot of the time to keep the kids entertained after they learn it. That can take up a lot of time for you to keep your mind active and thinking in a clear manner so you can say, boy, this is really a challenge. And I can think even more clearer about how to navigate life maybe because I'm keeping active within my mind. So I just wanted to make sure you know that that's available on a very cold day like this, inexpensive, as I said. You don't have to have a great big elaborate board game. And guess what? Everybody's happy. With that being said, I just want to say thank you very much for listening, and I hope God continues to bless you as well as everyone else out there, especially when you're really trying to do what's right. And you have a blessed month, and I'll talk to you in one more month. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
Yeah.